Regan Gentry is one of the most in-demand sculptors in New Zealand. His commissions over the last 2 years alone include Flower Power in Christchurch, subject to change by the bypass in Wellington, Green Islands outside Te Papa, and a giant lawn chair in Dunedin. At the end of this month, another sculpture will be unveiled in the new Michael Hirschfeld Gallery in the revamped Wellington City Gallery. The new work is called Make Way, and Amelia Nurse went to visit Regan as he was constructing it to have a chat about his recent work.
I was just hearing lots of stuff about making use of our environment well, and I saw some giant gorse one day and went, there's a material, you know, you could make something out of that. You know, there's a lot of gorse around, so I thought, you know, if there was a viable production kind of process that you could engage with, was that we're sitting on a gold mine here in New Zealand,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, like possums as well.
Exactly. Like, so I sort of looked around to see what had happened with it, and not much had been done. There'd been a wine operation for a while. And
really?
Yeah, out of the flowers. You make it out of the flowers. Right. It's actually the easiest thing to harvest. But yeah, that was, you know, I had the intentions of trying to raise New Zealand's GDP because, you know, we all want a better living circumstance. And if we can use these resources that are abundant here, then that's how you do it, isn't it?
So, gorse is, I mean, this is a theme in some of the things that you do as well, as found materials.
Yeah, like low cost maybe to help get scale on my site, because I like big things.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, why do people go to the movies? Because they like big stuff. You know, you just still watch it at home on your TV. There's a sort of presence that a giant thing has, and if you can get the proportions right, and I suppose it sort of takes over the situation a bit more. Maybe.
So it's impact. And
yeah, I suppose so, yeah. But it's got to be a good idea as well. I mean, if it's a stink idea made giant, you know, like a big bad movie, it's just a big bad movie, you know. But luckily, I haven't had too many big bad shows yet, so...
Well, I wanted to talk to you about failure.
Yeah.
Because failure is pretty important to you.
Yeah, I like You've tempting it. And I think it's something that we all somehow don't have too much of. But, I mean, failure sort of, I suppose, is the opposite of... Well, it's the bad side of ambition, isn't it? Like, you know, if you're ambitious and you go and try and seek these kind of big challenges and stuff, it's inevitable that you're going to stuff it up at some point. You know, it's not exciting if it's not challenging. So
is it the risk,
kind of inherent.
Is it the
there.
Risk thing, or is it celebrating failure, or is it exploring failure?
Probably just exploring, really. It's the temptation, and that gives attention. I suppose it's an against-the-odds kind of thing, and maybe it's a New Zealand-y kind of mentality, is, you know, we can do it, and, you know, doing the show at a gorse was a good one like that. Like, the collecting of it was probably the hardest thing. I suppose it's like I like try to push myself each time, mm-hmm. and challenge kind of my understanding of something, and, you know, to explore a material you do have to push its capacity. You know, before things started to go well for me, I had unbelievable quantities of failures, but they never got off the ground. It was just, here's an idea, you propose it to people, and it just didn't,
and they just don't,
it just didn't get picked up and ran with. And so, you know, my failures were more theoretical failures than physical failures, but
you know, kept going,
people,
obviously.
Yeah, and when you do get the opportunity, when you've had a bit of failure, you sort of know how boring and frustrating it is. So, you know,
you
make sure that you
though?
Don't... Oh, it just annoys you, and it's like... You know, I was about ready to give up at one point because it was like, I just can't keep writing proposals and just getting refusals back all the time. It's, what's the point, you know? Why am I even having these ideas? Because...
Yeah, energy going into the void.
Yeah, and it's like, well, maybe I just haven't got it. Maybe it's... Maybe I am just a failure in this field. You know, like I went to university before I did art school, and that was a failure. You know, a year and a half later, I'd wasted 2 years of my life just reading about God, you know.
Do you feel like it was a failure, though, or do you feel like some of the things that you did in those years come back? And
Very few, yeah. No.
Well, at least the fascination with failure came out of it.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm not upset that I wasted those, you know, years. Mm. It's not wasted. It's. I suppose it's maybe an obsession with being productive. And that's partly what this work is about, is, you know, when I got asked to do the show, I'd just finished the Whanganui show, and I was working on Subject to Change, which is the big red building on the motorway through Wellington. And a lot of the things were based around transport systems, and it got me thinking about what a transport system is there for, and it's about being productive and about succeeding and about developing and improving and all those kind of things. And failure doesn't really come into it very much, you'd think. But I don't know, when I started reading lots about it, you start to question actually what the transport systems that we've got are. So
how does failure come into this? It's the flyover on the Basin Reserve that this is...
It was kind of about how Wellington's just getting motorways stuck through it. And when I was designing Subject to Change, the brief was it's to go beside the motorway. And it was really funny thinking about a work in terms of the audience being people in cars looking out the window.
Yeah.
Like, usually you're making art for people who are going to go up and touch it or see it or smell it or feel it. I tried to design it so that, you know, people could experience it close up as well, but primarily it was designed for those people in cars. Yeah.
Can you just describe what it looks like?
It's one of the heritage buildings around the area, but it's as though it's been imploded, sort of crushed out of the way by the motorway itself and sort of folded in on itself so that it can fit. So it's 2 stories tall, it's 4 metres wide, 12 metres long.
It's almost like it's had a dimension taken out of it or something.
Yeah, well it's...
Because it's sort of L-shaped.
It's an L-shape, but the whole exterior surface is exterior surface, so it's like the internal wall of the inside of the L was made to look like the outside of the building. But yeah, it was just how... In that situation, the best way for those buildings to fit into this geography was for them to change locations or turn round and face a new direction or something like that. And I just found that way that the road became priority was interesting, you know, because it doesn't always happen like that.
Mm.
And I'd sort of thought, you know, cities were about people, but actually cities are about making stuff and making money and producing wealth and all those kind of things, and you need good roads to do that and good transport systems. And it's just a bit unfortunate that, you know, the city then drops the priority of the pedestrians and the people because the vehicles are more important all of a sudden and the capacity for those vehicles to move around. And anyway, so this flyover part of the basin, it's just hilarious, isn't it? Like, you've got a cricket stadium in the wrong place, in a tunnel in the wrong place, so the conclusion is we'll stick a flyover over the cricket stadium. I mean, the more I sort of read about it, the more silly I think having motorways through a city is. Like, I think they should actually halve the amount of roads in a city. It's like, it just makes it not very interesting place where you've got a place that is ruled by cars going back and forth and back and forth.
So what would you have? Would you have more buses, or would you have sort of pedestrian walkways that move or whatever, like they have in airports, or bicycles, free bicycles?
Yeah, I mean, maybe more bicycles and just more walking. Like, if cars were less convenient, we'd probably figure it out. But cars have been not inconvenienced, so I haven't really thought about it much. It's only recently since I've been doing this project that it's occurred to me how unprioritised the pedestrian is, and it's a bit sad. This idea of making a motorway out of cane.
Let's have a look at it.
Explain it, yeah.
Yeah, it's big cane rods attached to cane baskets.
Yeah, lots of baskets. They're sort of like cells that are kind of like a vine that's growing. And the idea was, like, what would it look like if nature started to impersonate human creations and make motorways itself, because it thought, hey, that's a brilliant idea, guys. I'm going to start growing like that because it's very useful. Really weird irony, sorry, but it sort of seemed to be something along those lines. Or maybe just if the roading transport systems we had were kind of a bit more in tune with nature or something like that. I'm sure that the roading guys would say, yes, they are, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, an idea behind this was Otero Viaduct that they did a good job of, and it's amazing, and physically it's huge, and it's so impressive. And when you see this situation that they overcame, that deadly zigzag, you know, what an amazing, amazing job. And the system that they used to make it inspired this work that was called a balanced cantilever. And so they just put a couple of pillars in the middle and then just build little bits out on the ends to sort of make it so that it spanned 35 metres before it touched the next piece. And that's a long way.
Wow.
You know, I mean... That's awesome. And so technically it was kind of tempting failure, I reckon. And so I thought, hey, that's a great one that I can try and achieve with this really, really weak, inherently weak material.
The arm that's sitting right in front of us is actually balanced on a little trolley. And
Yeah.
Can we have a look at it?
Sure.
So when I touch it.
Yeah, it swings.
It's like this massive sort of seesaw effect.
Yeah.
Because how long is this now?
This is 12 and a half metres, and it's balanced on 40 centimetres in the middle. So there's like 6 metres out each side, which... Yeah, and when you see how the structure is just so flimsy looking...
And yet so much tying has gone into it. There's massive amounts of twine attaching all these rods to the baskets.
Yeah, lots of weak connections make a good, strong thing, you know. So it was like the wire trees down by Te Papa Green Islands. That was lots of number 8 wire strapped together with tiny little staples.
Yeah.
And all of those tiny little staples help it stand upright.
What will this look like when it's done?
It's going to look like the... a section of the Aotearoa Viaduct before it was completed and connected to anything. So it's 2 towers of baskets which go up 3.5 metres, and then there's a cross brace across the top of that, and then there's 5 strips of these cane rods which are 12 metres long across them, and so it takes up the whole of the gallery.
Where is it going to be?
Side to side. It's the first show at the new Hirschfeld Gallery, which has been redeveloped in this Wellington City Gallery. So it's quite a coup for me.
Sounds astonishing. Regan Gentry talking to Amelia Nurse. Make Way opens on Sunday, the 27th of September, helping to mark the opening of the new and improved Wellington City Gallery.